So, Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. We pray, Lord God, with in faith believing that we receive understanding. And with all thy getting, we will receive greater understanding and revelation in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And remember, this is Bible study night. You know, we sometimes teach verse by verse out of a book of the Bible. So we've come to learn, and we've come to receive from the Lord. And so in 1 Corinthians 12, in verse 1, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts." And we said a couple of weeks ago that that literally means "now concerning things pertaining to and of the Holy Ghost." And he says, I don't want you to be ignorant. And so we don't want to be ignorant when it comes to spiritual things. We don't want to be ignorant when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. We don't want to be ignorant when it comes to finding and excelling in our place in the body of Christ. And we certainly don't want to be ignorant concerning, you know, the ministry gifts of the Spirit. Now, I want you to notice verse 4, 1 Corinthians 12. "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." So we see that the gifts are diverse or different, but the giver is one and the source is one. Yeah. And in verse 5 it says, "And there are differences of administrations." And that's really where we get the word ministries from. Okay? That's where we get the word ministry or ministry. Really, in a local church like this, we call it the ministry of helps because that's biblically what it is. But we could just as easily call it service teams. We're all in the service of the Lord. I'm serving the Lord tonight by serving you the word. The worship team is serving the Lord by leading us into the presence of God. And if you have not found a service team or have not found yet your place in ministry of helps, well, please do, because I believe that it is an awesome thing. One of the things that blesses me as a pastor is that our service teams, our minister of helps teams, treat people when they come here like royalty. We ought to treat people that come through our doors like royalty. Now notice with me in verse 6. "And there are diversity of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all." And so we see then that the way that these gifts operate is by the grace and mercy of God. Verse 7, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given just to preachers." No, it's not just given to preachers or those that have reverend in front of their name. I don't really like that reverend stuff, to be honest with you, because the same people that call you reverend will ask you, you know, talk about the man upstairs, but that's not what we're talking about. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all." And then notice with me in verse 8 and verse 9, right on down. "For to one is given by the Spirit of wisdom." Notice it doesn't say to all. "To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith," and more literally, that's special faith, and that'll be covered during the course of this teaching. Verse 9, "to another" means beyond the common faith, okay? How many of you have just, let me just illustrate it like this. How many of you just stood and stood and stood and stood on the Word of God and still no manifestation? But all at once, He comes on you. He turns you into another man. And what the Amplified says, it calls it special faith. And to where that which you have been believing God for and standing for God for comes to pass. And then to another, the gifts of healing or the gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. Amen. That's something that's beyond the laws of nature. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits, not just devils, like we said a couple weeks ago. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. The word "divers" there literally means diverse or different kinds. Did you know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Bible says that we, although I speak with the tongue of men and of angels. How many languages are known to mankind? Literally thousands. And the tongues of angels. Now notice verse 11, but all these worketh at one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as we will. No, the gifts of the Spirit are not as I will. They are not as you will. They are as He wills. But I have found out that He's very willing. And that if we will put ourselves in a position of faith and expectancy, He will manifest Himself. Okay, now, so what is then this gift of tongues? And we're going to spend, you know, a couple of weeks on this. The gift of tongues is, in fact, a supernatural sign. And divers kinds of tongues, we could say this, or different kinds of tongues, is a supernatural utterance by the Holy Spirit, now get this, in languages never learned by the speaker, nor understood by the speaker, and mostly not understood by the hearer. So when we're talking about diverse kinds of tongues, one of these manifestations of the Spirit, this has nothing to do with linguistic ability. It's not something that I went to college and learned French, or went to college and learned Chinese. No, it comes supernaturally by the Spirit. It is, like one person said, diverse kinds of tongues is a vocal miracle of the Holy Spirit. Now, in Mark chapter 16, I want you to look at that with me in verse 15 through 18. And I want you to see and understand that this gift, these diverse kinds of tongues, they are supernatural. They are not natural. They are supernatural. And you will find people that are well-educated, unfortunately, at the expense of their spiritual life, that will tell you that tongues has passed away and that tongues is no more for today. But if you'll take a careful look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which we'll look at in a moment, we will show you that it's still for here and it's still for now. Now, Mark 16, verse 15 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In the Amplified Version, it says, these signs shall follow or accompany the believing ones. You are a believing one. I am a believing one. And then he goes on to list what those are. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. Now, we're not to go looking for devils, but if one shows up, you've got authority to cast it out. One translation says, you shall exercise authority over demons and evil spirits in his name. And then the next one, they believers shall do what? Those believers, one of the signs that will follow a believer, they shall speak with new tongues. They shall speak. They shall magnify God with new tongues. Amen. Oh, don't tell me now, Pastor Mark, you're one of them tongue talkers. Well, absolutely am. And I'll tell you the truth about it, I'm in good company. Amen. The Apostle Paul said, I thank God I speak or I pray with tongues and in tongues more than y'all. Mm-hmm. Now, Paul was not a southerner. He's talking to the church at Corinth. And the King James Version speaks Elizabethan language. But basically, Paul was saying to the church at Corinth, look, guys, I'm thanking God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. That's quite a statement. Is it good to speak in tongues? We're going to find out some of the benefits of speaking in tongues. But I wanted you to notice this, that believers shall speak with new tongues. We might as well finish verse 18. They'll take up serpents, meaning believers won't be harmed if they do so accidentally. Now, you're not supposed to go to one of them churches that hands and plays with serpents. That's ignorance way before daylight. We don't believe in handling snakes or drinking poison to prove how spiritual we are. No. They shall take up serpents. Again, they won't be harmed if they do so accidentally. How many of you remember Paul on the island of Melita? He was bitten. But what did he do? He shook it off. Amen. And so we see then that these signs are supernatural. Now go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And let's look at the end of the chapter. I'm not exactly sure which verses it is. But let's start in verse 8 if we could. Well, I just don't believe in tongues. Well, that is your privilege. And that is your prerogative. And you can be thoroughly saved without speaking in tongues. Now, there are some denominations that teach erroneously that you have to speak in tongues to go to heaven. Where is that in the Bible? It's not in the Bible. But thank God we get to speak in tongues. Now notice with me in 1 Corinthians 13 verse 8. Says charity never fails. That's love. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now look at verse 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Is that right? Now notice in verse 10. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be what?
Done away.
So prophecy is not going to be needed necessarily when you get to heaven. Tongues aren't going to be needed necessarily when you get to heaven. They're going to cease when you get to heaven. I'm pretty sure that's what the Word is saying. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Let's look at verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So what I'm seeing in the context of that verse is we only know in part right now. Thank God for the part we know. But I want to know more. And for me to know more, I'm going to have to be able to step into the supernatural. And one way that I do that is by speaking in and praying in other tongues. Amen. So I'm thanking God for the privilege, the benefit of speaking in tongues. Now, something else about this diverse kinds of tongues or the gift of tongues, it's unique to this dispensation. How many of you know that the prophets under the old covenant, they had the Holy Spirit on them? The priest, the king, had the Holy Spirit on them, especially the prophet. And John the Baptist, he was a prophet under the old covenant. He didn't speak in tongues. But thank God, when Jesus came and gave his life, and on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came to take charge of the church, the Holy Spirit moved out, hallelujah, of the Holy of Holies and moved into your heart. Amen. See, where they had the Holy Spirit on them, we have the Holy Spirit not only on us, but in us. Mm-hmm. And he said, I've come to dwell with you forever. And so now that the Holy Spirit is in us, you and I can be filled to overflowing with the Spirit. Now let's look at some of the evidences or the purposes of speaking in tongues. Look at me at Acts chapter 2 verse 4. Acts chapter 2 verse 4. This is the day of Pentecost. Everyone say the day of Pentecost. Thank God for the day of Pentecost. Now notice with me. It said they were all together in one place. And they had an expectant heart, didn't they? The Bible says they were in one accord. You know, great things happen when we're in one accord. Great things happen in a church service when the assembly is together. You know, to put together toys, to put together certain things, there's assembly required. Well, to have a great service in Christ and in God, there's going to be some assembly required. That means everyone doing their part. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, ready, read, please. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the Spirit of God gave them utterance, or the Spirit of God gave them the ability to speak in other tongues. Now, one of the most common things that we see as pastors and ministers when we pray for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit is they're waiting for the Holy Spirit to do the speaking. Amen? Has anybody ever experienced that before? I can remember, you know, when I was filled with the Holy Spirit in 1975 in April, I went to a Bible study. I knew nothing about, you know, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I'd only been born again 2 weeks. And so they gave the altar call, or it was in a home. It was just jam-packed full of people. The Holy Spirit and His presence was so wonderful and powerful. And they gave the call, I guess you'd call it, to be saved. And of course, I wanted to be saved, but I was already saved. And we find that's common among baby Christians. They think they need to be re-saved, which is not the case. They just need to get in the Word and grow. Amen. And then they gave the invitation to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that night, I said, yes, I want the Holy Spirit. So I had about, I want to say, 100 hands on me. But it was probably more like, you know, 25 or 30. And they were just speaking in tongues. And there was power in there. And I didn't know what to do. I just received. And I said, thank you, Lord, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. I wasn't instructed. I had no clue as what to do. I guess I was waiting for the Holy Spirit to start speaking through me like He was speaking through them. And so I, you know, later on down the road, I understood that there was something I must do. In other words, there's a cooperation that takes place between the Spirit and us, or the Spirit and our spirit. See, in the things of God, there's always a Godward side, is there not? And then there's a manward side. God always does His part in supplying the gift. Jesus is the infiller and the baptizer with the Holy Ghost and fire and power. But we must receive, amen? And then we must start speaking and praising God out of our heart. But understand this. That if you're waiting for the Spirit to speak, you're waiting for the wrong thing. The Spirit's going to give you the help. He's going to give you the utterance. He's going to give you the anointing. He's there. Just waiting for you to open your mouth and start speaking supernaturally. And what happens is people's heads get in the way. Has your head ever gotten in the way? Maybe I should ask some of you, has your head never gotten in the way? No, our head gets in the way. But this is a supernatural gift given by a supernatural God. And when you're speaking in tongues, this prayer language comes up out of your heart. But it's not something that's spooky and it's not something that's far out. No, it's as easy as breathing. It's as easy as saying, Lord, I receive. And then just start praising God and worshiping God in a heavenly language. Now, don't get bummed out if all you have is a word. Don't get all, don't make it complicated. You're not going to speak fluently in other tongues, by and large, the first time you speak in tongues. Some people have, but most people don't. Now, in my specific case, I just had a word or two. And I can remember laying on that bed in that little, whatever it wasn't a very nice place. Yeah. And I can just remember, I was hungry. I wanted to express my love for God beyond English. You know, thank God that you can pray out of your spirit in English. But after a while, you know, you want to go to higher heights. You want to be able to supernaturally communicate with a supernatural God. So I just had a word or two. But I was faithful to exercise that word or two. And I don't know how many weeks I was on that word or two. You could say maybe I was stuck. I don't know. But oh, glory to God. There came a day that out of my belly started flowing rivers of living water. And then all of a sudden there were languages coming out of me that I'd never heard before. I would speak in tongues and pray in tongues and supernaturally. And I didn't know what I was saying, but I didn't care. Why? Because I knew that I was speaking directly to God. And you do not have to wait for the Holy Spirit to speak through you. You just, in faith and by faith, open your mouth and start praising Him. Amen. Amen. You can do it. And I encourage you to do it. And if you haven't done it yet, praise God, you can do it before this series is over with. And if you haven't been praying in your devotional language very much, I encourage you to bring it up another notch. Bring it up another level. Let's heat it up. What do you say? Let's heat it up. Glory to God. Oh, the richness and the benefits of praying in the Spirit, of praying in other tongues. Oh, things will come out of your mouth. You'll begin to interpret what you're praying about in English. You'll get direction. Glory to God. And God will be glorified. Now, I'm looking for something Howard Carter said. Howard Carter was a man that was mightily used of God. And didn't he write something along the gifts of the Spirit? I believe he did. Howard Carter said this, "We must not forget that speaking in tongues," everyone say speaking,
speaking.
In tongues. So he says, "We must not forget that speaking in other tongues is not only an initial evidence, as we just discovered in Acts 2:4, or sign of the Holy Spirit's indwelling, but it is also an experience for the rest of one's life," listen to this, "to assist us in the worship of God." Woo, glory to God. And then he says, "It's a flowing stream that should never dry up, but will enrich your life spiritually." Amen. Out of my belly and out of your belly is flowing rivers. Amen. Rivers of life. Rivers of health. Amen. Rivers of direction. Yeah. Oh, glory to God. And so they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Secondly, turn to me to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. It gives another reason for speaking with tongues. And it's important to go over this before we get into the public use of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. These are foundational truths. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You know what? I'm just not in a hurry. I'm not in a hurry just to get through a bunch of material. We want what God wants. Speak in mysteries supernaturally to God. 1 Corinthians 14, 2 says this, "For he that speaketh," you can't thinketh tongues. You don't think in tongues, you speak in tongues. "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. However, in the Spirit," what does he do? He speaks mysteries. And we'll get into the public use of tongues and how you keep things decently and in order. You know, God didn't put 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 13, and 1 Corinthians 14. He didn't come upon the Apostle Paul in such a fashion to talk about things pertaining to and of the Holy Ghost just for the church at Corinth. God doesn't waste time. There are things in there that are for the church in the Bay Area today, here and right now. Now notice, Moffat's translation reads it like this. "He is speaking divine secrets." You're not speaking unto men in your devotional speaking in tongues, in the privacy of your automobile, or in the privacy of your own home, or wherever you speak at and in. But you're speaking unto God. It is your spirit. Say this with me. I am a spirit.
I have a soul.
And I live
in a physical body.
My Father is the Father of all spirits. He's my Father. And so I commune with Him, the Father of spirits, out of my spirit. So if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, prays. It's a cooperation. It's my spirit by the Holy Spirit who is within me. He prays. Woo, glory to God. That's the Amplified Version, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14. Let's pull that up. Let's notice that. This is real important. Say it with me. I am a spirit. You are not a body. You are not a mind. You have a body. You have a soul. But you are created in the image and likeness of God. You are a spirit being. Amen. And so, in 1 Corinthians 14, 14, in the Amplified Version, I want you to see that. This is really good. Let's read it together. Y'all here tonight?
Amen.
All right. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. But my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit and helps nobody. See, it doesn't help really anybody in the public assembly. Amen. But it helps you in your private life. Now, it's fine and it's great and it's wonderful when we're all in one accord and we're worshiping God in the Spirit, in other tongues, singing in the Spirit, speaking in the Spirit. That doesn't need to be interpreted. Amen? But, oh, glory to God, the benefits of speaking in tongues privately and individually are so awesome. All right, turn me to Acts chapter 10, verse 45 and 46. Another scriptural purpose of speaking in tongues is to magnify God. Is He worthy of our praise? He absolutely is. To magnify God. In Acts 10, 45 and 46. So that's what we do corporately oftentimes, is we speak in a heavenly language. We sing in a heavenly language. In verse 45 and verse 46, it says, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So speaking in tongues is a way, it is a means to magnify God. And then go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. Another benefit, another purpose, if you will, for speaking in other tongues is to edify yourself. To edify or to build yourself up. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. To edify or to charge yourself up like a battery. How many of you ever needed a battery charge in your automobile? It was low and you weren't going to go very far unless you got a charge on that battery. Well, that's the way life is. Because in life, we go through a lot of different things. And if we are not built up and if we are not edified, we could very easily get discouraged. Or we could very easily get depressed. How many of you have ever had the opportunity to get depressed? Or to be down or to be sad? But we're prophesying over our lives, no more sad. If we're going to stay sad, things are going to stay bad. We're prophesying over our lives. We're cheering up, not tearing up. We're being of good cheer. But this will help you to be of good cheer. You cannot just tough life out by willpower. I know that I'm talking about. You cannot make it through all the fiery darts and everything that you face by willpower. Thank God for willpower. Thank God for perseverance. But you know where that really comes from? That comes from the Holy Spirit. There's been days in my life where I didn't know whether I could get out of bed or not. But I just started speaking in tongues. Started magnifying God. Started thanking the Lord. Get in the shower and sing a little tune. I know Pastor Tom is a shower seeker. He seeks the Lord in the shower. He gets songs and sermons in the shower. Amen. Oh, glory to God, if you'll just step out in faith. Amen. For in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. See, some people in here tonight, you've been trying to do this walk with God in your own strength. And I got news for you. It cannot be done. It cannot be done. You cannot live this life by your own strength. That's why he said in Ephesians 6, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strengthened by his spirit in your inner man. Be strengthened in this life by the spirit living in your spirit. Be charged up and ready to face life by charging your batteries, by communing with him and speaking supernaturally in the spirit. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. Notice this with me. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, what does he do? He edifies himself, charges himself up. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Okay? So we're looking there at the edification that takes place when you are speaking in other tongues, magnifying God. And now look at Jude 20. Jude 20 in the Amplified Version. Praise the Lord. I heard an experience from a man named John Henry Mahone the other day when I was up visiting him in the hospital. You know, the doctors told him he was going to die, but he's still alive. Glory to God. And, you know, they told him, you know, I looked at the chart on the wall and it says, just keep him comfortable. Well, he's comfortable, all right, sleeping in his own bed right now. He hadn't eaten anything for a while, but he's eating now. I'll be honest with you, I've never seen a man so tenacious with faith in my life. Oh, man, it blessed my soul. And it was real. Now, let me share to you something, share with you something that he shared with me. I said, now, John Henry, is there anything you need? He was at Fremont Kaiser, then he was over at Hayward Kaiser. I said, John Henry, is there any books you need, any CDs you need? What do you need? He says, no. He says, I've got two things that I've just stuck with steadfastly. Of course, the Bible. And then he said, that book, Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. He says, I just continue to feed along those lines. And he says, and then a book by Mark Hankins called The Spirit of Faith. Seems to be working for him. Yeah. Glory to God. Amen. I said, glory to God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. And you know, they're telling him, you know, he's going to die. But you know what? If you decide in your heart that I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord, you can live. Amen. Yes, but Pastor Mark, it's appointed unto men once to die. Yeah, I know that's right, but I think I'll make the appointment. Yeah. You know, because it's all over the world. The world will tell you, oh my goodness, you never know. Something tragic happens, you know, out there. You just never know when your day is up. You just never know. We know. Amen. I said, we know. Amen. We got angelic protection. The angels of the Lord encamp around about those that fear him. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and I don't want you to bring this up to Pastor Brenda because she didn't want me to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. But a week ago, the devil tried to kill her during that AFCM meeting. And she was sitting down on Winton Avenue, so don't say anything. She's fine. But she was sitting down there in Winton just minding her own business in her nice little ruby red Lexus that fits her just fine. And some guy coming up behind her going 45 miles an hour. His brakes went out on him. And he was heading right for her back end. Well, Tony Cook's father was killed by a car that exact same way by going 51 miles an hour. And so that young man that was in the car swerved. Thank God he swerved. Because he saw that Lexus and he didn't want to hurt that Lexus. He swerved. he hit another car. And the other car went into the Lexus and she had wheel damage. She did not have one hair on her head hurt. Don't tell me that's not... Yeah, but what about the fact that, you know, the car isn't getting fixed? Yeah, but what about the fact that she's alive? See, don't center in on, well, you know, the car had to go in to get fixed. Center in on the fact that, thank God, he's given his angels charge over us.
Amen,
and
amen,
he keeps
amen.
Us in all our ways. And thank God for a praying mama and a praying church that pleads the blood. Don't you leave your house in this day, in this hour, without applying the blood of Jesus over the doorpost of your heart. So we're rejoicing and we're thanking God for her safety. Well, the devil doesn't like Pastor Brenda because she's a pastor. I got news for you. He don't like you neither. But God likes you a lot. God loves you a lot. I said God loves you a lot. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life, and it shall be fulfilled. And the weapon that is formed against you is going to prosper. And he's given you the equipment that you can face this life as more than a conqueror. It's the name, it's the blood, it's the word, it's the infilling of the power of God. It's the ability to speak supernaturally by the Holy Spirit and live above this world system. Come on, somebody. Glory to God, way above. You and I, we're the head and not the tail. He'll let you in. You see, you're speaking supernaturally. You're speaking divine secrets to him. And as he wills, glory to God, he'll reveal some of those secrets. He'll tell you which way to go. He'll tell you which way not to go. He'll tell you who to hook up with and who not to hook up with. He'll lead you. He'll guide you into all the truth. And he will keep you stable and sound and safe in the midst of a tumultuous world that we live in. It's good news.
Amen.
I'm telling you, this gift of the Holy Spirit is good news. Now, Jude 20 in the Amplified Version. I don't know how we got off on all that. We started talking about John Henry. Thank God John Henry's healed.
Amen.
I looked at Louie and I got it again. I lost my way there, but it still was good. John Henry told me the experience he had getting filled with the Holy Spirit. He said that Brother Louis worked with him. Brother Louis's been in the church for many, many years. Louis Okoye. Stand up, Louis. Your wife, stand up. Praise the Lord. The Okoyes, amen. Praise the Lord. You'd have been proud of me the other day, Louis. I strapped him up again. I came out of retirement for about an hour and a half with John. Man, did we have some fun. Holy smokes. Anyway, but... So he said that you were working on him to go to a meeting, right, in Hayward. And, you know, John said, no, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. As a matter of fact, I got to meet a coworker down at the bar. I'll just wait in the bar until after the service. But Louis kept after him. Says, come on. You know, we are all called to invite people to meetings. Invite people to places like this. Oh, glory to God. And so finally... John Henry conceded and said, well, I'll go. And he got in there, and I guess the guy was preaching on 666. Is that right? He was preaching on the Antichrist. You can imagine, you know, guy not saved, just sitting there wanting to get out and have a Bud Light, or back in those days, they probably didn't have Bud Light. But anyway, gave the altar call to get saved, and Louis kept on him. Come on, let's go to the front. Let's go to the front. John said, I don't want to go to the front. So finally he conceded and went to the front. Now listen, he got halfway down the aisle and just started speaking in tongues supernaturally. Is that right, Louis? No one touched him. No one laid hands on him. But before he got to the altar, he started speaking in a heavenly language. Glory to God. That's the kind of God we serve. So you might be here tonight, you've been going your own way, and you've been struggling, you've been saying no, but God is saying, come on. God's saying, yes, 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 it's your time, it's your day.
Yes.
Hallelujah. It will enhance your life spiritually.
Yes.
And you will be turned, you will be amazed at how often you'll be turned into another man.
That's right.
I mean, you'll live above and not beneath. Amen. Glory to God. Now, that's a spectacular incident. And that doesn't happen to everybody. But let's expect it to happen here. Whether you come down to the altar and just speak in tongues by faith, or whether you get halfway down here and get so drunk in the Holy Ghost that you can't make it the rest of the way, let God be magnified.
Amen.
Let Him be magnified. Let Him be glorified. Everyone say, I'm expecting.
I'm expecting.
Now, Jude 20, Amplified Version. We're edifying ourselves. We're magnifying God. A lot of questions that you have are going to be answered over the next week, so you can save them for that. And the King James says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And then Jude 20 in the Amplified. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Jude 20. Thank you. Yeah, that verse 1, Jude verse 20. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Everyone say, I am a believer, and I have the privilege and the benefit of speaking in other tongues. He'll warn you. He'll warn you. He'll show you where to be. He'll see to it. Pray. He's got your case. Look at this now. Verse 20 of Jude, the book of Jude. Praise the Lord. Thank God for His word. Amen. I'm getting blessed, aren't you? I came to church to get blessed tonight. I not only came to be a blessing, but I came to get blessed. I believe in getting blessed. All right, now let's read this together. Ready? Read. He said, but you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith. Make progress. Rise like an edifice, higher and higher. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, wait a minute. I didn't quite. I thought you'd be a little bit more excited about that. Let's try one more time. But you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith. Everyone wants to make progress. You want to grow by leaps and bounds in your spiritual walk? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. You want to rise like a big building, higher and higher? You want to go higher in God? Pray much in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Now notice the next verse, if you would, please. Notice the next verse of Jude, verse 21. Now, when you do that, you'll be guarding and you'll be keeping yourselves in what? In other words, the more I pray in tongues, the more I become aware of His presence. And the more I become aware of His presence, the nicer I am. It's true. You can be an old, fogey, bummed out person if you're not staying full of the Spirit. But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the love of God will just flow out of you. Why? Because you're seeing people the way God sees them. And if we begin to see them the way God sees them, we'll treat them the way that Christians should treat other Christians and the way that Christians should treat people in the world. Amen? So guard and keep yourself in the love of God. Expect and patiently wait for the mercy of the Lord. Amen? And then we'll close tonight in Isaiah 28, verse 11 and 12. This is all foundational. And we'll get into some of the ins and outs of it next week. Spiritual refreshing. Amen. I was reading the other day on Facebook. Brenda has Facebook. But I get on her Facebook. So if you get a message from me on Facebook, it'll always say MT or PM, Pastor Mark. Doesn't mean nighttime, BM, Pastor Mark. And one of our members, and I won't say who it is, but they just took a real huge trip and put on about 3,000 miles on their car and had a good time. But how many of you have ever went on an extended vacation before and you came home and you needed a vacation from your vacation. You ever been there? Yeah, we probably all have. But he says, you know what? I need a vacation from my vacation. Well, listen to this. Spiritual refreshing, spiritual, like Dad Hagen says, renewals of the spirit, constant renewals. They can happen in your own home. They can happen in Hayward. Now, I'm not coming against taking vacations, but what I'm advocating is refreshing your spirit daily. Isaiah 28, verse 11 and 12. Please read that with me. Well, I'll go ahead and read it. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest. This is what? This is the rest. Or we could say it this way. This is the refreshment. Do we need refreshing? Oh, do we ever. This is the wet rest, wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Tonight I encourage you, before you go to bed tonight, spend some time speaking to the Lord. Spend some time talking to the Lord, whether in English or in the Spirit. Spend some time this week just over in the presence of God. Oh, glory to God. And your life will be enriched. You'll begin to see some things maybe you haven't seen before. Amen? Amen. All right. Praise God. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you say, you know, Pastor Mark, I learned a lot tonight.